It could be, no, I don't, I think this could be so many things. So you have to try to find out what is the situation for the barn, for the child. Is it something happening in the school, in the kindergarten? Is it something which has with the transitions, with the friends, with neighborhood, with the family? It could be many things. So in some way you have to, as an adult, try to find out about your child.
So the being in touch with your child and the keep on communication in that phase really very important.
Each child needs to have a secure base. And in attachment theory, you will learn much about that, and also how you yourself can be secure basis or secure haven for children.
A secure haven for children and attachment is so important. Thank you. In a debrief session, how can we tell what's normal transition stress and what are red flags that require professional or medical follow-up?
It's not so much about how red the flags is. I've been in Kobe after the earthquake, and missionaries, they went up on the table and they are crying. And a week or two later, they had calmed down. We worked in group. It's much more about how many red flags it is and how long they are lightning. So there are made schemes about this. Perhaps you could mention one.
Yes, Dr. Samuel Pfeiffer from Switzerland, psychiatrist, actually made a form for us member caregivers in Switzerland that we could work with to look at what could we do as debriefers and how far could we go? Because he again says, like Björn says, a lot of the time they don't need specialists. They need your ears to listen to and comfort. But he has set up a paper and said, this is when the red flags are, this is when you need professional help. And I don't have it with me, but I'm very happy to post that on your TCK website for you to look at. I think we also have it translated into English, but it is for us as normal debriefers, you know, how much can we do and when is it time that we then get in contact with people like Landers?
Yeah, that's we use that in Norway too, and I know it, and it is very well good to have as a to see where you could refer them.
I will post that on your TCK website for you. Yeah. And another question, we have mission partners who have their own biological children, but also adopted African children. What do we need to be aware of as we care or debrief them?
I think it's what is special then, it is a child which is, he or she is adopted. And I think that will give a special situation into the debrief situation, because they have had a transition and a loss before they came to this family who adopted them. So I would have thought about was this child adopted as a baby, or was it adopted as a five-year-old or a three-year-old, or at what age was it adopted? I think that if it was adopted as 2 years or 3 years old, they have a story before they came to this family. And when they are moving and have a new transition, they also will have in some way the trigger of this first transition in their mind. So and sometimes you can, it is helping to think how it is to be that child. So and sometimes child doesn't speak about it, and they are showing in some signs how it is, but you can't really understand what it is. And I always is remembering a girl I had in therapy many years ago. She went to school and she didn't want to read books. She only want to have this small magazines of, we call it in Norway, Donald Duck.
Donald Duck.
What do you call it? Is it
Donald Duck?
Yeah,
yes.
It's Donald Duck. Yes, yes. And when she was asked to draw, she always drawed some airplanes. And the teachers were quite, they didn't understand, and I didn't really see what they could do with these children, this child. And I, she went to play with me, and at what, that's after some days, she could say, I asked her why she was so interested in Donald. And then she said it was his three nephews, Ole, Dole, Doffen, we call them. She was wondering, where was their mother? Why was they living with their uncle? And where was their mother? And that was her question. She was adopted, but where was her biological mother? She was from Korea. And the plane, of course, he was brought by a plane to Norway to be adopted in Norway. So in some way, when we have spoken to Rosie, in some way it was helped her to find out, and then she could go back to school and teach.
Yes.
And so that's
I
an
guess
example.
You then lifted it up from a more
conscious
level to a conscious level.
Yeah.
Then she didn't need to continue this way of behavior.
So to be aware that adopted children on the field coming home have already experienced most likely more than one transition. So that is the awareness that you have to have,
yeah.
If I understand
you. Yeah, and also the background why are adopted. Maybe they have been bounded as a little child, or they have lost. We don't know the background. Maybe they have been abused. Maybe they have.
Right.
Many things could have happened the last 2 or 3 years of their living, you know. And they haven't word for it themselves, but as adults, we have to think about that.
No easy answer for adopted children, but the awareness is important. Right. And how do we do trauma debrief for children and teens? Huge question,
yeah.
Short answer.
Yeah, I think we have workshops about those things, and many of you are very skilled in those things. But I think that for small children, it is really using to play is their way of bearbeide.
Coping with
the processing.
Processing the what has happened, yes. So to play, and also to make drawings. That's very good. And movements and playing in different ways. So that is the way I think it's very important for children to play.
And I think you gave that example while we were discussing this
.
With children being traumatized, and the mum actually put it into a game so that the children actually played that game over and over again, and the mother had put the whole kidnapping or something was?
Yeah, they had been hijacked in some place in Africa, and I was sent there to look after them 14 days after they had been rescued. And the mother and father was very anxious about the two boys. But the mother, she had made a game of, we call it leather.
Snakes and ladders?
Yes, but she had drawn it, so it was a place where it could be somebody who hijacked you, or you could be rescued, and you could be put in jail, and you could be... you had to draw...
Throw the dice, and then depending on where the dice would come, they would either be positive, go up the ladder, or then sort of go down...
Yeah, yeah. So after 14 days, the boys were quite normal. They didn't have any signs of being traumatized, actually. So, But a debriefing of teens. Yeah.
That's okay.
I am not the expert there. I think
it's we have the those we have worked the most with is children and grown up, but teens. I think it's, you could speak to them, so you could use the same ways of lifting things from unconscious level to a conscious level. And things which we have on a conscious level in some way will show themselves in our behavior. So if you learn to think about yourself, you also diminish the pressure to behave in a normal way. And sometimes they could repeat what has happened in or what are their situation in relation to you. And he was not a teenager, but he was a rather
young adult.
And I had him in therapy, and he, the first weeks, he took the chairs and placed it in the room, and he was on the one side, and I should be on the other side. And then he took a doll, a doll, and throw it over to me. And I thought we had a game, so I throw it back, and the whole hour, three quarter, was in this way. And the first week and the second week, it was the same way. So I had to talk to my supervisor, and we talked about it. This could symbolize his situation. He lived, his parents were
divorced,
yes, and he lived 1 week with his mother and 1 week with his father. So I introduced the word kasteball. It's a ball who is cast between people. That means in Norwegian that you are that you everything could happen to you. You couldn't decide yourself your situation. So I said to him, "Do you heard about this?" Saying, you could be a casting doll. No. I explained this for him, and the next week, I asked him if he remembered what we had talked about. Yes, he did. And then I asked him, I said, I have wondered if you are such a ball, such a doll, which are cast, thrown from the old side to the other side. He had not said any word to me these weeks, but then he said, in not a Christian way, yes, and you should know what hell it is. And then you could speak.
Then the door was open. Yeah. Huh? The door was open to start talking to him from face to face.
Yes.
Yeah. But it took a lot of originality to get there, right? Mm. Yeah.
And I had to search help.
Yeah, yes. I'm sure. Thank you. I mean, you can see these people, they have so much knowledge, they could go on and on, and we only have 1 hour, and half time is already gone. Mm-hmm. Quick question. What self-care tips do you have for TCKs and their families?
Oh, I feel not
adequate.
I think you have to what do you say, Björn?
well, live as normal families. That's, and when our impression is that children who lives up in missionary, as missionary kids, they have very good first years of life. And that are the forming years.
Mm-hmm.
So the structure in their personality is often very good. So if they later in life have problem, losses and so on, they could withstand it better than many others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is the reason why Norwegian TCKs do it as good as other Norwegians, even if the TCKs had been on boarding schools and so on.
So the family life is the important.
Yeah, so, and of course think about reducing situation which means losses, that don't go back and forth too often, of course, and that you prepare for going out and prepare for going home and talk about what the kids are thinking about it, feeling about it, and so on. Marion Nell has specialized in that area.
Mm. Yes, well, the books are in the back there.
Mm.
So
have time to have fun together.
Yes, as a family, as again, family, it's the family unit that is so important.
Yes.
Right. Okay, we go to the last question before Solveig will give us a little introduction. What tips do you have for de-escalation, anger management, and difficult emotions, particularly in the relation to transitions and culture shock?
Yes, Björn will just.
You could read this question as if it is impossible to calm down. And that could be a problem. In some way, it's you must more prepare yourself to be a person who could stay in strong feelings, which are directed towards you. In psychiatry, we use the word containment. That's I guess the English speaking. You understand the meaning. It could, in some way, be a container that bear and tolerate the influence of others' feelings, also negative and negative feelings. And then, of course, that you are there are borders about what you could do with me or your siblings and others, so you could also stop actions which are negative, but that you tolerate the feelings.
And yes. Try to understand why this those feelings,
think. Yeah.
So the difficult feelings, are there, why so difficult feelings about just this little thing which happened? And very often it is it will be a trigger, something in the background that have triggered the anger to come up or the difficult emotions, I think. So,
because I think you said as well, anger, normal anger and emotions are fine. It's when it escalates to where it can endanger you or another.
Oh. Yeah. Right. But it's also much about giving meaning to people's feelings and
emotions,
words and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So if once I said to pay a patient something very, I said it in very calm way and was not in itself anything burden in it, I thought, but she was very angry with me. So I had to find out all this, and I asked, what did I really say which was so difficult for you? And yes, you said that it was okay that I was asked to have a lesson for that people. It was a great honor to have that lesson, and I liked it. But for her, it was a burden, because in that community, she has been so ill-treated. So when I said, okay, that's fine, that was a way of telling her that I didn't understand anything. So when I then could say, oh, then I understand why you were so angry with me. In some way, you must be angry with me in such a situation, and when I show so little understanding, then she calmed down.
So you have to find the trigger, use God's wisdom in finding triggers why the anger came out. Yes. And then you, when it comes to the surface, that's where you then can again start talking eye to eye.
Yes, right? And give meaning to it.
And give meaning to the anger. And that anger is real. Yes. I think that's what you said later. We have to acknowledge that anger and pain is, even if in our eyes it looks like nothing, but for that person, it is very real. And that's where you say the importance of giving that meaning for her or him. Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Good. Those were the questions in the box. And we said we would cover the questions in the box. And for the next 20 minutes, 15 minutes or so, Solveig is going to give us a little talk on the model of stress, resilience, and vulnerability. And then if there is still time left over, we will have some open questions still. So thank you, Solveig.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I think it is. This is a model. So how you can think about those emotions and about those actions and all those things into what we are speaking about now. And there is a really complex relationship between what you experience as a stress and if it should be a mental and illness or mental problems or health. So it is a multiple factors and multiple outcomes. So it's really complex. It isn't easy. Like if you have been in three transitions, you will be got anxious or you will get depressed. It is not like that. Or if you have been through a trauma, you will get so and so. It is not like that. It is a multiple factors always. So and the individual has different ability to deal with different difficult situations. And that will depend on different factors. So, and now, and therefore we have this model of stress that is distressing, which is coming to you. You experience that, and you have vulnerability for just that stress, or you have resilience to just that stress, and a lot of different factors are working together. So now I will do it a little more complex for you, but not so. You have this resilience and vulnerability on the personal you are. Of course, you have your genes, genetic. You are your your child, you is not your brother, you are not your sister, you is you, with different genes. And therefore some are quite outspoken, some are quite introverts, some are, yeah, it's a lot of different things. So we have these attachment styles. You know about, and Björn mentioned that. That is about how you learn to trust or not trust to the nearest people when you are a little child. Between 1 and 2 years, the first 2 years, you have really have to try to trust somebody or to, and how your parents were at that time, that will have a great impact on you. If you have had a depressed mother at that time, it will have an impact on you. If you lost your father at that time, that will have an impact, so grief in the family. It is a lot of things. But we can say that some of the attachment styles are, we call them secure, yes, and the other is the insecure. The insecure can be anxious or avoidant, we say. So in some way, and that is, you can read about it. If you seek an internet on attachment, you will have a lot of things about that. And that's quite okay to see how typical you will find yourself as secure or insecure. And also early life experiences, as I mentioned about this little child who was adopted. Of course, if you also have moved as a little child, I heard about a girl who moved when she was 3 years old, and she was really happy as a 3 years old girl, and played and had friends and so on. And when she went back to her home, her passport country, she wouldn't speak the language in the passport country. She only wanted to speak the African language she had learned as a child. And that was, I think that was a protest of the separation from the, she has lost her friends, her childhood paradise. And she, in some way, showed it. She was not, wanted not to, to speak the language in this foreign country she is coming. So that could be an example of early life experiences, which later on could trigger you. Yeah, we could say a lot of it, but I stop there. And the next one is the family. The family is so important, and I think for missionaries, the most of the parents are supportive to their kids. But we know that if the family culture is quite critical, that is not good for mental health. To grow up with conflicts in your family and where the parents are quarreling together and are quarreling to the children, and that is not good for mental health. So that is an, if you have been in such a family, you can handle it in different ways. You can be angry yourself, or you can be very, very silent and very, very clever and very, very, try not to get other people angry on you. So you can handle it in, as your personal disposition is, you can handle it in different ways. But it is difficult for a child to grow up with if the family is not supporting them. And you also live in a cultural, social situation, of course. So if you have belonging to friends and to the neighborhood and to church and to have good social support, that is very good for mental health. And if you have not, if you are criticized and do not have friends or do not have any support from your social life or in your team you are working or in the work situation or in school or in everywhere, it is much more difficult, of course, we can say. But I think that it is important to know that all these things work together. So how you react if you are in a difficult situation. So therefore, siblings came out in very different ways, even if they have experienced much of the same outer situation. So so now we have seen on the factors who some things give you resilience. That is, will be that you can manage. You will not be broken down. You will manage to go with the difficulties. Other things are making you more vulnerable. And now we will see on the stresses, the difficult life kinds of stresses. And I think I have sorted out to get overview. I have sorted out what we can call normal life stressors. That could be to get a sibling. It could be really hard for a little girl or little boy to get a sister or brother. It could be, it could also be leaving home. It could be a stress for some. When you have to move to in boarding school, you have to move to school at seven years old or 10 years old. Or it could be as a little child to move to the kindergarten and go to away from your mother and father all day or for several days or so on. So all these separation situations are usually a stress for children. But that is the normal life, and also transitions. I put the transitions into the normal life. You have normal, you move and you have to change your work, change your home, your building, where you are living, your church. That is your culture. It is in some way normal. Then we have these adverse life events, I call them. That is more things that are quite negative, because those first are both positive and negative. To get a sibling could be a stress, but it's also very positive usually. But adverse life events, it could be to be ill, to have illness as child and also as adult. It is quite a stressing situation. You have to go to hospital and so on. If you have been sexually abused or have had other traumas, different kinds. I think that's the next one. Different kind of losses I have on this adverse life events. You have lost your friend. Your friend has moved, and you have no best friend anymore. Somebody has died in your family. You have lost, or you have moved, and lost. Yeah, all kind of losses. Traumatic events. That is the difficult things. Really difficult. When you have been sexually abused, if you have been bullying in school or in social media, you have that. And also if you have been in dangerous situations like car crack, hijacked, life-threatening situations, it also could give you a traumatic event and have a traumatic impact on you. And what also is a stress factor is unhealthy family system and social systems. Are you living in a good family, or is it you're living in a very conflicted family? And on work, is it conflicts, or is it, how is it there? Conflicts is always difficult if you don't find out how to solve them and find out what the problems are. So that is all kind of stressors. And when these stressors comes into a person, I think normally we may cope with one stress, but if there are coming different stresses together, some very serious and some not so serious maybe, but they are adding to these others, you will get stress reactions. And that that will may have impact on your whole person. So you as a whole, and then we can sort out the different types of stress reactions when you look at your physiological reactions. One of the most common is lack of sleep, lack of appetite. You can get pains, headache, stomach pain, back pain, and so on. Or you could things about your body. And I used to say that your body is telling you something. Your body is not as good and well as you know, and then it's telling you that something is wrong. So that is a stress reaction, normal. The body is telling, and you don't understand. You don't want to listen to your body. You are tired, but you don't want to listen to it. So that is the physiological. So we have this emotional. And the emotional, very core emotions are anxiety, anger, and sadness. They are in a group together, and they are normal. They are quite normal. From a little child, when your mother is leaving, going out, the little baby is crying, you know, anxious, anger, and maybe weeping. That is quite normal, but you have to find out and know your emotions, what are happening with you now, and you realize that when you are in stress, usually your emotional life is more varying, much ups and downs, and you are not in stress, you are usually more calm. The cognitive, that is how you think about things. That is also maybe affected if you have been in a traumatic situation, as like in Björn told in when we went to Kobe in after the earthquake there in 95. Some were quite confused. They couldn't think. Adult people, missionaries, couldn't think because it has been so very... It really made them confused for a while, and then they went back to their normal. The behavior is very typical that you, in a stress situation, act. Some is acting very passive and is freezing, doing nothing. Others are fighting. Being active, fighting and flighting. And so we use this fight, flight, and freeze. It's three typical reaction if you are in a really stress situation, dangerous situation. And usually it is good if you could use all of those, but in the situation, you usually use what you are typical for you. If it is typical for you to be active, you are active and fight or fly. But if you are more like to be passive in that situation, you will freeze. So it's one of the things you can learn afterwards is to sometimes fight, sometimes flight, sometimes freeze after what stress situation you are in. Relational, there we see that in stress, some people will try to attach to their people, seek other peoples, others will go away from others, isolate. And that is according to their attachment style from their very beginning of their life, very, very often. And also you see the same, I think, in the spiritual life. You may cling to God, or you may feel that you lost God. And have the, where are you, God? So that could be also personal, why somebody is in those situations are clinging to God and somebody is really feeling that God is away. I have a little about health process, debriefing. That's important. Speak to somebody or try to get another person to be with you in this stress situation. Find out defining the problems. That's very important. And then I think there is something about it is something about grieving that is quite sound and I think it is to weep and to grieve is a very sound way of going through the stresses you are in. So I think to really not be worried about emotions, but really let the emotions come up and that's yeah. And working it through by telling the story over and over again and reflecting over it. I think that's if what you do in therapy, that you will always have a story to tell about something who has been really difficult and traumatic. And you working it through by see on this story in different ways, in many times, and over again, and reflect about and also see the differences, small differences you can see now. You didn't see it the last time you had a look on that situation. And through this process, you can gain inner peace and personal growth. I think that is really what you have had hardships and you come out and are have grown as a person, but it has been a process. It isn't like you have to knips your fingers and then it's gone. I think you have to walk through the valley of deep sadness often and grieping. Well, all these stress reactions, when they only are for some weeks or some months, they are quite normal. If they are lasting for a long time, and you are not able to cope and to turn the stress reaction, then they can turn into a long-term symptoms and mental illness. So mental illness, very often we think about mental illness that it is something very foreign, something you don't know anything about, but very often it is stress reactions you have not been solved, you hadn't got help in time. So when you don't cope, you need some professional help. But you can. It is good to go early to seek help, not wait too long. The earlier you came into it, the better it is, I think. We think so. So, if we see on the possible outcomes, the outcomes could be if you don't get help and you are. All those reactions are coming into your body and you are really so tired and you don't know and it's you got a mental illness, you can and you don't seek help, then you can end up in bitterness, or isolate yourself, or you can end up in a chronic disorder because you didn't get the help, necessary help. Sometimes you have to live with chronic disorders, but I think when you seek help and get adequate help, you can get reconciliation and new health, and new and more adequate coping skills with what happens in your life. And that could be practical, like that you can leave a situation when you usually sit and take in all those negative things you experienced. You can leave that situation and say, I will not listen to you anymore. That is, yeah, as an example, if you're not usually used to leave. or psychological, you can know yourself much better than before because you have seen all your different emotions, all your different reactions, and you know yourself. So that will be a very good help to sort out what to do in the concrete situation in your life later on. And then you will get a stronger and more mature personality. So that is the good. 1 minute back.
Thank you so much, Björn and Solveig. And we hope with this little presentation that has also added to some of your answers that you had with the questions. And maybe you were sitting here with maybe questions you didn't ask, but through this little presentation that they have scratched your surface. It is 3:15. We only had 1 hour. You can see how we try to push in a lot of information for you. Björn and Solveig are around. They are happy to answer your personal questions. So come up to them over coffee and tea. You know, we don't have a lot of time anymore till tomorrow morning. But thank you for being here. And once again, thank you, Björn and Solveig, taking the time to prepare for this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you.